Now, this trade had another effect. It played a major part in the spread of a new metal, in the spread of iron tools and weapons and ironworking technology across the eastern Mediterranean. Copper is an ornamental metal. Bronze is a fighting metal, and a metal that was used to make agricultural tools. Iron is the metal of the warrior, the metal of the farmer, a utilitarian metal which made tough working edges and was to revolutionize both warfare and farming. We know that iron was first smelted in the middle of the second millennium BC, perhaps in the highlands immediately south of the Black Sea. Now, the Hittite kings realized immediately that this new metal had many advantages, for its sharp, tough working edges were invaluable for weapons and for farming and woodworking, and of course, they realized, being a militaristic civilization, the great strategic advantage of iron. They are known to have parceled out gifts of iron very sparingly to other monarchs. There is a blade of native iron in a dagger in Tutankhamun's tomb. Now, one of the advantages of iron was that iron ore sources are very abundant, unlike copper and tin. So it rapidly, once the technology spread, once the techniques of making iron tools became known, the technology spread rapidly over a wide area of Europe and Southwest Asia, initially as a prestigious metal, and it was some time before both domestic implements like axes and hoes were made with the new technology. It was predominantly a strategic metal at first. After 1200 BC, as iron was becoming more common, repeated migrations of foreigners flowed into Turkey from the northwest, disrupting life within the Hittite Empire and then in Greece. Rebellious vassals of the Hittites, like the strategic trading city Ugarit, immensely wealthy, which was really under the Hittite sphere of influence in the eastern Mediterranean world, divided up by the Hittites and the Egyptians, threw off the Hittite yoke and rebelled. This was merely symptomatic of a much larger problem. The eastern Mediterranean world collapsed in chaos as the great powers either fell apart, were seriously weakened, or, like Egypt, withdrew into themselves. Inevitably and eventually, economic recovery came in the hands of the Phoenicians, consummate traders from the eastern Mediterranean, whose ships traveled the length and breadth of the Mediterranean. This was a new world of the Assyrians and the Persians, of classical Greece, the Etruscans, and eventually Rome, when the Mediterranean was linked from one end to the other by highly intricate mercantile ties, which drew both Europe and North Africa into a long civilized universe. And this also was the milieu from which Western civilization emerged. In this lecture and its immediate predecessors, we have described the growth and emergence of a complex Eastern Mediterranean world. A world that began with the development of the Sumerian city-state and the patchwork of small kingdoms of Mesopotamia, which struggled again and again to become larger kingdoms, even near empires, which were linked by trading connections, which eventually extended as far as the eastern Mediterranean coast, onto the Iranian plateau, and eventually made contact with the Harappan civilization of the Indus Valley, which we'll talk about later.